This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We welcome to the program on a very early. Al, I got to tell you, I love the fact that you said, give me the 6 o'clock slot, because there are so many people that say, that's awfully early. It's the second most listened to hour, so people are up listening, but the guests are sometimes unwilling to do it. So Al Schneider joins us. Good morning. It's been 4 years, I guess. Man, that seems hard to believe since we first met, but how are you doing?
I'm just fine. Yeah, and I'm an early riser. I like to get things going in the morning.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. All right, so reintroduce yourself to the audience. Talk a little bit about your history, your background, and why you're running for the Board of Education for District 61.
Yeah, I'm Al Schneider. I've been a teacher, counselor, tutor for 35 years. I'm running mainly because there are no educators on the board right now, and it's a Board of Education, so it seems logical that we should have at least one educator with a fair amount of experience. I've also had experience in developing and analyzing curriculums for 26 years. I've been a member of other nonprofit boards for 7 years, and I've been involved as a budget planner analyst for 15 years. So I think what I can offer is just a broad perspective in a lot of different areas of work that the school board needs to do.
Okay, let's talk about the pandemic and the past year, which everyone has had to deal with, you know, unprecedented in our lifetimes. What grade would you give the school board and how they've been able to deal with this past 12 months?
Oh, I hate grades, but it would be
whatever you want to do.
For sure, because I'm working, and since last time when I ran 4 years ago, I was retired then, but then a job came up as a guidance counselor at MacArthur High School, so I've been doing that for the past 4 years. It's been extremely frustrating when the students are really ready to come back, and there were plans made, very detailed plans ready to go in October. And I know the pandemic was getting worse at that time, but it's just all the delays have been very frustrating because the communication with the students, it makes it so much more difficult for counselors and teachers. And so many of our students have practically given up because the remote learning for them is just either difficult or just very hard to navigate technologically, or just their own motivation sitting at home with no one else there to push them. It's been a very rough year.
All right, and why would you blame the board for that, though? I mean, if you go back to October, you know, we were in a very different place than we are today. Hospitalizations were the things, you know, it was out of control. 9,000 kids, or close to 9,000 kids. I mean, logistically, that would have been pretty tough.
It would have, and I understand, especially at that time. But as we were getting closer to January and things were starting to look better, and like I said, the details were set up. I've talked to people at other schools. Like Mattoon High School is about the same size as each of our Decatur schools, and they've been doing one day a week and having no problems. I just think it could have been done at a small scale to start with and then worked its way up. Like I said, some of our administrators did a wonderful job of preparing all the details of how it could be done safely, and I just think there wasn't much communication between the people within the schools and the administration, the central administration.
All right. I read one of your Facebook posts last night as I was getting prepared for the interview about you talking about apprenticeship opportunities for the high school students, and there being a couple of programs presently, and that this is something that we should be exploring. What do you mean by that?
There's a national movement to expand apprenticeships, which are traditionally known by most people as something that in the skilled trades you do after you're out of high school. You go into a 5-year skilled, you know, trained apprenticeship, working your way to be a master. But there's, I was at a conference once where people from the Swiss embassy told us how 2/3 of all their high school students get into apprenticeships with any kind of business. The idea is that the business is finding out if the student is the kind of employee they want, and then student is finding out if this is the kind of business they want to be in. And so they get a start in high school. Both ways, it's a win-win to find out if this is something they want to proceed. It doesn't stop people from going to college if that's what they want to do, or going into a skilled trade or whatever. So I would like to have the school district work closely with the Chamber of Commerce to encourage this kind of activity, because so many students could gain by this. We all know that one of the hardest things to do is your first job is, you know, they ask you, what experience do you have? And you have none. So It's like we want people with experience. So this gives people experience, you know, on the way up the ladder to getting the jobs that they want. So it's a tough thing. And the district, I'm pleased with, you know, the Decatur School District. They've made some progress in this. I just think this is something for our students that can be even more beneficial the more we can find more apprenticeships we can develop within the Decatur community.
Al, I couldn't agree with you more. And I believe that because of some outside forces, mainly being the Howard G. Buffett Foundation through the Duane Andrews Ag Academy, through the Jerry Dawson Public Service Institute, we just talked to Dr. Juanita Morris yesterday, there's going to be real-world apprenticeships for students in nursing and law enforcement and other areas, preparing these kids for life. And the partnership that you also wrote about with Richland Community College, we have 1,100 jobs in Macon County right now. And every politician will come through and tell you we need more jobs. We have jobs. We're not connecting people to those jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can't agree more. I mean, I just want, and what you just said about Richland, too. I mean, Richland has 35 different technical programs. A lot of our students just not aren't aware of them, and we try to make them aware of as much as possible. And there's just so many training opportunities within those programs, and then you combine that with possible apprenticeships. There's lots that can really develop here, I think. So I'm hoping that I can be a part of that process.
Al, let me ask you, you've been doing this a long time. Has education been kind of in the way of this, meaning that there was a push that every kid had to go to college or get a college degree when your average age of your IBEW electrician is like 47 and they don't have a huge pipeline of young people coming in to be electricians where you can get paid the entire way, not have, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 in school debt and have a career that you can raise a family and make a lot of money?
Right. It's been very frustrating. I've been going to counseling, national counseling conferences for 20 years, and there was this big movement about 15 years ago, like you said. I would talk to counselors, it would really frustrate me, and it's like, everyone has to get a four-year college degree, you can't get a decent job, and that's just not true. And I never discourage anyone who wants to go for any kind of college degree or graduate program. The key thing is to try to make middle school students aware as possible of all the different kind of options of career development paths that there are, because a lot of times I don't think they are aware of that. And parents also, because sometimes parents are misled to think that there's only one good path to success in life, and that's just not true. So I think that's what I'd like to see our district do even a better job of, you know, trying to make sure we get that information to our students.
All right. Talk to me a little bit about the difference running this time versus 4 years ago during a pandemic. You know, clearly the events aren't there for you to attend, you know, in large numbers of people knocking on doors, all of that. What has been the difference in running this time versus last?
Well, yeah, the forums are Zoom, and I hate Zoom. I hate, because I'm just a very much in-person kind of guy, and I like to see other people's faces. And I mean, you can see it on the screen, but it's just nice when you get a reaction in person. The other thing, the big difference is this has been a very low-key kind of campaign. The candidates, when we talk, no one is upset with anybody else, and it's very positive relationships. I really look forward to if I can be elected, working with the others that are running, because I think they're coming up with a lot of good ideas. That's the key thing, is it's a teamwork kind of thing, and no one has all the right ideas, so we can share with each other. And I'm really pleased about that. I think the campaign's been very positive in that way.
All right, there will be wholesale change, right? You know, four incumbents are not running for re-election, so there'll be four new board members.
Right.
Superintendent has announced that he is leaving, so there's going to be new leadership coming. That can be exciting as far as change is concerned, but it could also tend to stall out a little bit. Are you worried about that?
Well, yeah, hopefully I stall out. I'm worried about getting, you know, moving as quickly as possible. I hope we can get a superintendent, not to rush and make a, you know, a false decision or not. That word false isn't good, but, you know, you don't want to rush into it. But I don't want to have it take too long either, because we need leadership in the district. And there is a lot to do, and it's not an easy thing to choose a superintendent. That's a tough choice. And I, you know, that's going to be something in May, June, and July I'm going to be spending a lot of time on. And since I have to resign my counselor job to be on the board, and I'll be retired again like I was 4 years ago, I, I luckily can have a lot of time to work on this, so I hope to contribute as much of my time as possible to help get the district, you know, going in a maybe a slightly different direction with a new superintendent.
All right, Al, how do people find out more? I know you have a Facebook page, but if people want to reach out to your campaign in these last days, how do they do it?
Oh, on my Facebook page is my phone number and my email. Just give it again. My phone number is 413-1469, and my email is alscheider@yahoo.com. But like I said, they can see all the, you looked at my Facebook page. All my platform ideas and everything are posted there too. But yeah, that's, I hope people vote. It's really important that they vote on school board and city council. These are important elections. I hope they can get out.
All right, Al, we appreciate it. Good to hear from you again. Al Scheider, who is back at it for District 61 Board of Education.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.